Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Are we recording this?
No, this is recording.
Why? Why didn't you tell me we were starting?
I need to record you to look at the waveform as it goes.
You're a pro, right?
Well,
I don't see a light. I didn't see a light go on.
So now you're going to be all like legal on me? You're going to.
You didn't tell me we were starting.
Well, you're sitting in front of a microphone.
Oh, really?
So.
I've been sitting in front of a microphone for the last 15 minutes while you get all this stuff set up.
I never claimed to be good at this, Chris.
I never asked to help.
A conversation between brothers featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 47 of the internet comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
You are.
I am Chris.
And my name is Cole.
Yeah.
And we submit this podcast for the approval of the Midnight Society.
Huh. That means something different to you than it does to me.
What's it mean to you?
Hmm? Oh, it's the club that I belong to.
The Midnight Society?
Mm-hmm.
You gallivant about and you knock mailboxes over with baseball bats?
No. We read stories around a campfire.
Approved. Hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
Absolutely. Let's talk about going postal. Can we do that?
It's a little bit soon. I mean,
well.
We have a while to go.
As well, just start out with it.
Okay.
Ian Robinson, 43, had to leave his job after developing arthritis. But the authorities ruled that he is not entitled to disability benefits and must now try to survive on job seeker's allowance. This is in England or Europe.
Yeah,
and they don't call it unemployment. It's I just have the job seeker's allowance.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds nice.
And they go to uni
but he
at
worked,
the loo.
Yeah, he worked for the Postal Service. And he decided to demonstrate how angry he was about the decision by staging a bizarre protest in front of shock staff at Bridlington Job Center. When I started taking my clothes off, a man said, "Hey, you can't do that in here." So I went over and glued myself to his desk with super glue.
Okay.
Nobody tried to stop me. It was too late by that point.
What part of himself did he glue to the desk?
His hands.
Okay.
The naked demonstrator pried himself off of the furniture before paramedics arrived, and he suffered only some redness to the skin on his arms. He insists the protest had been worth it, and that he would do it all over again if he felt it would help make his point. He's quoted as saying, "A society is judged on how it treats the sick, and leaving them without disability benefit is criminal."
What was his disability? Was he allergic to clothing? Was that his thing?
He's just sick.
Just sick?
No, he developed arthritis. He couldn't carry envelopes anymore.
Oh, okay.
They told him he can't work, but then they told him that he can't get disability.
Hey, what better way to say I'll stick around, you know?
I guess so.
Can't get rid of me.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
It is funny.
You can't take your clothes off. Bullshit. I'll glue myself to this desk.
Yeah.
I can do what I want.
that's one way to steal some office supplies, though. Just glue yourself to them, right? As you go out, I'm gonna take this Aeron executive chair by gluing myself to it. You know,
I have no idea what that is, but okay.
Yeah, no, just I want this chair, so I'm going to glue myself to this chair.
I guess.
And then we're gone. We're done.
It's sort of like chaining yourself to a tree. You don't want to get cut down or anything like that. But
yeah, no, I agree with this guy. I think that he's good.
Why naked? Why not?
You know, I try and live my life by that every single day of my life.
Every time you're alone in the dark.
Well, Chris, can I give you a similar story?
Sure.
A Des Moines woman was awarded unemployment insurance by a judge after it was determined that she quit due to a hostile environment. The offense that her employer committed, her boss sent out a memo saying, and I quote, and I'm going to shout because it's all in caps, "New contest. Guess the next cashier who will be fired." The prize for a correct answer, Chris? $10 whole.
Oh, set of steak knives? a $10 value.
ABF. ABF, always be fired.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how that works. She got third.
Well, she didn't get fired. She quit because it was a hostile environment. That's like that's like what Drew Carey's boss did in the popular Drew Carey program. The Drew Carey Show.
I didn't know that was like the overseas title.
It was. That's what they called it in Russia.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which is the
Drew Carey program.
Yeah, it was all improv, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Then he lost a bunch of weight.
The Price is Right doesn't really translate to a communist country.
No, it doesn't. Does it?
The price is all the same.
Yeah.
Everyone's right. I got some OneNote tabs. Oh, well, I got some OneNote tabs.
You do? Mm-hmm. Can I share all of my cards? I labeled them with alliterations.
Neat.
That previous one was Termination Turmoil.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the next OneNote tab?
Letters. I'm going to read the story, then I'll give you the tab, because okay. There's some doozies coming up. The McCarthy family of Pleasanton, California have an unusual explanation for how their 2002 Toyota Prius got totaled. It seems a bear got into the car, easily enough, but once inside became stuck and got mad about it. Ripping seats open, biting a chunk out of the steering wheel, and damaged the gearbox, which shifted the car into neutral. All of this noise awakened the family at 3:30 a.m. as they watched safely from the cabin as the Prius slowly started rolling out of the slightly sloped driveway. Slightly sloped.
Slightly sloped.
Driveway. Picking up speed, it rolled across the street, hopped a small rock wall, and finally came to a stop on the porch steps of a neighbor's house. After coming to the stop, the bear became free from the car and escaped into the woods. OneNote tab, boo-boo Prius.
In all fairness, the parks system was in very much in the wrong for showing all of the bears different Jason Statham movies.
Who's Jason Statham?
The Transporter, Crank, bald guy, does action movies. Mm-hmm. He has kind of an English accent. Oh, come on. Really? No Jason Statham? Crank? Crank 1? Crank 2?
Ed Gein?
No. Chris, I've talked to you about this several times. The only celebrities you know of are serial killers.
Yeah, I guess.
We haven't had a good serial killer in a while, have we?
Not been caught.
Chris, I notice you haven't blinked all night.
And I intend to keep it that way.
Blinking?
All I have to say is that the next season of Ice Road Truckers is going to be a few people less.
They thought they had the most dangerous job on Earth.
And then they really did.
And then Chris proved it. What's that show all about?
Why is your garage full of tire chains? Somewhere there's an Ice Road Trucker saying, "Who took the chains off my tires?"
Well, you're like Jigsaw. You only put them in situations where they kill themselves, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do that thing. Or Seven. Or you're like Johnny Seven from the movie Seven. You know, any of those. I don't want to you know, tell tales out of school vis-a-vis your inspiration, but
picked them up in a Snow Oasis bathroom.
Snow Oasis. That's what they call them up in Canada.
I guess so.
I guess. Speaking of things that are using tools that really ought not to be using tools, can I take you to...
No!
I'm going to take you there anyway. I really don't care what you say to me, Chris. Here we go. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists have captured video proof of a fish using tools to get a meal. The orange-dotted tuskfish found in the Pacific is seen excavating a clamshell from the sand, carrying it over to a large rock, and smashing the clam against the rock until its tasty innards were exposed. This is tremendous, since problem solving and planning were considered to be rare in the animal world and almost non-existent among fish. Chris?
He's not using a tool.
Yes, he is. He's using a rock to eat.
No, if Blinky whips out his Leatherman and cracks open a clam while sipping a mojito, that's a tool. but using something that's just on the seabed? Does that mean that, like, fish that live in shipwrecks can build houses?
No. How about hermit crabs that jump into soda cans, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is this doesn't bode well for us, because that's really all we had over the animal kingdom. Right?
I think we're still all right.
Next thing you know, thumbs, Chris.
Nah.
Thumbs, language,
yeah.
Culture.
Okay.
Whole civilizations below the sea that for some reason want to kill us, we can't discern.
They can learn how to use a thumb on a flipper, then good for them.
No, but this is the thing. Like, if you go to YouTube, you can look up whole series of videos of animals using tools, like crows dropping nuts onto the crosswalks of intersections and then waiting for people to hit the button, and then, you know, cars would come.
Crush.
And then when the crosswalk would go again, the crow goes out and pecks up the nuts and then walks off.
And that's just manipulative.
Well, yeah, crows do that. Crows are actually really smart. There's, like, videos of octopi using hooked wire to get worms out of like vials and stuff, like figuring out, okay, I need to pick this up and bend it and then get it out. Chris, what I'm saying is Mother Nature knows no bounds in the way that she can kind of mess with us.
You know what I got from that?
What'd you get from that?
The idea for an octagon shaped pie pan so that you could more easily and equally cut pie pieces. Just cut from corner to corner, babe.
God damn it, Chris. I wish that just once you would pay attention to me.
Nah.
That's all that I want.
Why would I do that?
This is about. All I want is to be paid attention to, and you won't do it.
There's people out there that listen.
I just hate you so goddamn much.
Well, that happens.
Chris, tell me a story.
Oh, all right. Denmark introduced what is believed to be the world's first fat tax, a surcharge on foods that are high in saturated fat. Butter, milk, cheese, pizza, meat, oil, and processed food are now subject to the tax if they contain more than 2.3% saturated fat. Some consumers began hoarding to beat the price rise, while some producers call the tax a bureaucratic nightmare. Danish officials say they hope that the new tax will help limit the population's intake of fatty foods.
What I found is a great way to reduce the intake of fatty foods is just to make sure that people aren't depressed.
Yeah, or if people don't refer to your country as a pastry, that would help too.
Yeah, it's true. They're working against that. I mean, it's a law. I mean, they're socialists, so they have to eat a Danish every morning. So that, you know, goes right back into the government pockets, right?
You know what replaces a Danish?
What replaces a
ants
Danish?
On a log?
What's ants on it? Oh, that's a pretzel with peanut butter and... Oh, wait, no. It's a celery with peanut butter and raisins?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right. I prefer the pretzel. So
it's a pretzel with mustard on top of ice cream? No.
No?
Well, that's not it.
No?
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No.
One note tab? Buttery dough.
I don't know. Let them tax whatever
that's
they want.
That's some greasy money.
Stinky, slippery money.
Mm-hmm.
You can see right through it, Chris.
Thank God.
You can see... right through it. Speaking of, we just did the endless shrimp.
We did.
At the Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Harrowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope none of those shrimps were mommies.
Because that'll raise our count.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. I settled down at my age. I don't do it as much.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, the table did look like the shrimp trail of tears, though.
For some reason, all I can think of is Hiroshima.
Hiroshima?
Yeah.
Oh, the bodies of shrimp strewn about?
Yeah, yeah, all cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually kind of sad. So I'm going to venture away from that.
All cooked.
Well, Chris, I have a question for you.
Go.
Would you like to take a quiz?
Yeah, probably.
Probably?
I'll let you know halfway through.
We can stop. You can pull the ripcord on that. Pull the ripcord.
Okay. Gong.
I would like you to tell me, in these groups of three, two of them are military code names for various operations, and one of them is a heavy metal band.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to tell me which one is the heavy metal band.
All right.
All right? Set number one. Candy Tuft. High Lord. Urgent Fury.
Urgent Fury.
Urgent Fury was the U.S. invasion of Grenada.
Oh, man.
High Lord.
Damn You, Reagan.
Is a metal band whose 2006 album, Instant Madness, you probably haven't heard. And Candy Tuft was an SAS operation to destroy a rail bridge in Italy. Set number two.
Mm-hmm.
Attack, Attack. Fall Rot. Eagle Claw.
Attack, Attack.
Attack, Attack is known for their hit single Stick Stickly, which was released in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're one for one. Okay. Yes, Fall Rot was a Nazi defense overview, and Eagle Claw was the American rescue of hostages in Iran. Set number three. Dragoon. Blackguard. And Barbarossa.
Barbarossa.
Barbarossa was the German invasion of the Soviet Union. Blackguard. Their 2011 studio album, Firefight. And Dragoon was the Allied landing in southern France. It's going to get weird, Chris. These last two. All right?
Okay.
Golden Pheasant. Acid Gambit. Night Rage.
Night Rage.
Night Rage is known for A New Disease Is Born, which is a 2007 album. Acid Gambit is the American rescue mission in Central America, and Golden Pheasant was a U.S. military operation in Honduras.
Two for two.
Two for two. So this one will make it or break it, Chris. Metal or military? Lucky Alphonse. Firewind. Jock Scott.
Jock Scott.
As the metal band?
Mm-hmm.
Jock Scott was a 1952 Britain roundup of insurgents in Asia.
Damn it.
Firewind, known for their album Forged by Fire, a 2005 album. And Lucky Alphonse was a British raid of Cyprus. You lose, Chris.
I know.
You
lose. But it was a better showing than on of the other quizzes that you've done.
You hated my quizzes.
Well, because your quizzes, the answers are relevant.
Exactly. I'm not gifted like you, Chris. I can't do the poetry.
Don't go down there.
I can't do the poetry that you do.
Don't go down that route.
I have to compensate. I have to compensate with opacity.
In your small little world, answers matter.
So mad.
All right. We've done 47 episodes.
47, I'd say. It's a good number.
This is my favorite story name.
You're calling it now. Favorite ever?
This, for so far. Not okay. Ever. I'm not going to.
You can't say that.
You can't
say that with any authority.
I'm just saying
I don't want you to say.
This is a follow-up from another story that we did. And it was actually when I asked you to solve a mystery, and we asked people to respond, listeners to respond with, how do you not know that you're sleeping with a person of the same sex or a man, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to get some insight into that, not from a reader, but from another story that is coming in front of me. Nicole Lindsay was shocked to learn the boyfriend she hoped to marry was a lesbian sex offender named Samantha Brooks. Police told her that Brooks, who she had always known as Lee, was once jailed for abusing a 14-year-old girl. She said, "The thought of how Lee deceived me and my whole family has given me nightmares and made me feel sick." Nicole described a relationship with Brooks, who used a modified wooden toilet roll holder in their sexual relationship. Nicole said she was uncomfortable being seen naked in front of a partner, while Brooks claimed he felt the same way after suffering testicular cancer. Brooks even conned her into believing her body had been scarred by a previous partner as the reason she wore bandages around her chest, which actually hit her breasts. Nicole's family grew suspicious of the man, who had no facial hair or an Adam's apple.
And long flowing hair.
Nicole said, "I didn't believe Lee could be a woman. We'd been having sex on and off for years, but I knew he was hiding something."
Hiding something like that penis you never saw?
Like a toilet roll holder? Yeah, he's hiding it in your vagina. One note tab, Brooks was queer.
See, that's sad because that's like abusive and stuff. I don't like.
Why is that abusive?
What's that?
Why is that abusive?
Well, wasn't he like hitting her?
No,
I wasn't paying attention. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess don't even get on me about it now.
I guess I filled in my own details for that.
Apparently,
it's fan fiction. No. I'm writing my own fan fiction.
You just want to turn everything into a social commentary. I don't approve of that. I've read in books that abusive relationships can be 100%, 99% of the time written into Lifetime movies.
We've made that joke before, though.
What's that? So. No, that's not a joke. I'm just saying. I just thought random things.
Stop it, Chris. You're what? Making me sad. Don't.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tear
Always
into
on
me.
Emotions.
Don't tear. Oh, God.
Always on emotions. You're so in touch. God, I wish I wasn't you.
Oh, man.
God, I'm not.
So the answer to the mystery is just delusion, right? Didn't we touch on that back in the past?
Well, no, it's not only if it's delusion or not. It's, you know, there's some tricks involved.
Smoking mirrors. Yeah. Does the person have, like magicians who consult? Just kind of, like, they get sitcom writers
I think
in?
One person is, like, really emotionally together.
Okay.
And the other one isn't.
Oh, okay. So one person has a secret and the other person has not enough self-security to, you know,
yeah.
ask
well,
those questions.
It's just like from the first South Park movie. You know, when Satan says, why do you always do me from behind?
Okay.
Well, there's always something like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't like my body. I don't like my body either. Let's hide all of it except for this wooden roll. And what satisfaction are they getting out of this? But I guess lesbians use toys anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Why would it always be the wooden toilet roll? Like, are dildren expensive?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it feels... Maybe like she's springy? Got a maybe Lee's got a secret. Maybe she's figured out how to make perfect flesh that only molds around toilet paper rolls. I don't know.
Oh, is she some kind of like necromancer? She's
hold on a
she's
second.
Figured
I got
out
a
how
nuke.
To make a
hold on a second. I got to nuke this homemade fake dick. 98.6 ready for a fleshing.
For a flesh. That's not sanitary at all. That's awful.
No, they would need to get it up to what 150.
Well, 165 if you want to be safe.
That's a scorching fake dick.
Although I can picture setting it on a Foreman grill. The meat thermometer in it. You know, get it? Meat thermometer? Now you're insufferable. You're just a barbarian, Chris.
Yep.
You're just a barbarian.
Tell me a story.
I'm going to tell you a story, Chris. Since we're talking about fake women, can I tell you about another fake woman?
Go.
Fakegirlfriend.co. is a service for those who are unlucky with love. All you have to do to convince your parents that you're a heterosexual is sign up for the service, put your fake girlfriend's number into your cell phone, possibly with a number like Janice or Denise or Linda or Mary or Stephanie or Zoe or Jocelyn or Linda or... I think you get the idea.
Carmela Bing.
Have you been looking through my well,
never mind.
We'll ask that question later. Okay. So you put it in your phone, and then, you know, on occasion, when you're out with the fellas, or you're in a situation where you want to impress people, you just take out your phone and you send her a text. Then you will get a message back that you can respond to in front of your friends. Or a pre-recorded call that will simulate an actual conversation with someone who can stand your presence. Chris, the future is now.
How many accounts do you have?
I was wondering if that was going to be a thing because I'm not currently with anybody. So I was wondering if you were going to sail me on that. You know, you never.
I just figured
you
it'd
never,
be
never miss an opportunity.
I figured it'd be easier for you.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I don't know how to deal with people. That's mm-hmm. I mean, unless I'm in front of a microphone. So, but yeah, you just whip that out. I wish that they would go one step further. I wish that they would, you know, have like fakefriend.co.
Uh-huh.
Like fakecoworker.co. Like, oh, hey, what do you do? Oh, I'm a contractor. You know, I do some consulting work for various firms. Like, well, I never see you around. It's mostly like telecommuting. So that way when you're just out and you need to, you know, look important, right? You just... you know, send this text and then you get a call back with some pre-recorded like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's not panic here. We can put out this fire. Panic will just make it worse. I understand you pay me the big bucks so I can solve these problems for you. But just move the money over into the Peterson account. And I think we're going to be set at least until, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Just go like that because all this is self-aggrandizement without wanting to put in the effort to, you know, to actually do these things. So you could actually like have an entire fake life. Although if that was the case, I don't understand who you're trying to impress. It's kind of like those people, like when they lose their jobs, they just dress up in, you know, clothing, business suits, and they carry around attaché cases, and they, you know, wait at bus stops, and they look at their watches, and just from 9 to 5, they move about the city looking important because they have to maintain appearances, right? When in reality, their briefcase is just full of porno mags and, you know, bread crusts. And they just, you know, walk into a corner every once in a while and sob, then get back to making their power phone calls. What I'm saying is technology is now allowing us to live entire fake lives, and I think I approve of it. Thoughts?
Insert ring. No, seriously, insert ring. Hello? No, Janet. No, I'm fucking serious. Get in the basement. I'm at your mom's, and I'm going to kill her if you don't shut the fuck up.
Chris, wait, yeah. What are you, is that an option on the fake girlfriend?
No, that's because I pay for it so I can talk to her how I want.
Whatever happened to hiring a good old-fashioned prostitute to make yourself look important?
I don't know.
Huh. I don't know. Fakegirlfriend.co.
Mm-hmm. Next story is out of Ocala, Florida. The owners of the Ice Cream Family Corner and Sandwiches recently thought it would be a good idea to have someone stand outside their business in an ice cream cone costume. "We're just trying to get people to come in," said store employee Jasmine Gonzalez, probably an illegal. But a lot of people, driving by the store, thought the person standing outside was actually wearing a Ku Klux Klan outfit. The owners say they had no idea about the mistaken identity. I'll say about a week after we hired the guy to stand outside, people stopped coming in, like dramatically. We would stay here the whole day with nobody coming in. Eventually, Gonzalez says someone told them what people were thinking, and they pulled the waffle cone costume off of the street.
It doesn't help that the restaurant's name is Flaming Tees.
Yeah, I don't even know. I get it, though.
Okay.
Yeah. One note tab, twisty hood.
You can't get hot fudge at that establishment. You can only get butterscotch.
I don't think you get that. Well, you get marshmallow cream, and that's it.
That's it. They call it the cream supreme.
The cream supreme. That's right.
They do that.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. Are they sure that it was
an ice
cream?
I might have given Jasmine a cream dragon.
Explain a cream dragon.
It's a marshmallow dragon sculpture.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it's not.
I gave it to her as a gift.
It's not a dirty thing.
No.
Okay.
No, it's a present.
I thought it was a sexual act.
No, it's a present.
Like a blumpkin.
Yes. No, it's not like that.
No, that's not.
I mean, I did give it to her in the bathroom.
Oh, you gave her a pumpkin that was all rubbed up with Vaseline.
It was a marshmallow.
Oh, okay.
Carved it like a dragon.
Okay.
Yeah, and I gave it to her in the bathroom.
That's tough. Most people they store by their mushroom cream. Their why don't you say mushroom?
The cream of mushroom.
They're the cream of mushroom cream dragons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Huh. Who did they think that was though? Because the ice cream cone costume had sprinkles on the hood.
The grand high. The grand.
Was it the only gay Ku Klux Klan guy ever?
No. There's plenty of them.
Yeah,
I'd say
probably.
You just everybody can be intolerant. Everybody can do that. You know, the KKK, they've gotten a lot more inclusive in their exclusion.
Say KKK again.
KKK. So do you suppose that this was just the costume store trying to offload some controversial equipment that they otherwise couldn't get?
I don't think so.
This looks suspicious. Ah, just add some sprinkles to it. You're good.
I'll say about a week after we hired the guy to stand outside, people stopped coming in, like, dramatically. Really?
Looking for the one thing that was...
Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. We have a voicemail.
Really now?
Here. I'm going to play it.
Hey, those damn Roth kids. This is Gary Butterfield. Wanted to give you guys a call and tell you to keep up the good work and present to you with a scenario to bounce off of. So if I had infinite money, as a super rich person, one thing I would do is I would buy, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of real dolls. And so I'm not done yet, so don't jump to the conclusion there. I would hire someone to modify them, and I would dress them up as superheroes and then have a basement where I have one-to-one scale, six-foot-tall action figures that I could pose and everything. Problem with real dolls, of course, is tons of erections. All the men have erect dicks. So I would saw them off. You know, and then eventually I just have this big tub, you know, a real doll, erect, rock-hard cocks. What would I do with that tub? Discuss. Keep up the good work. And, yeah, thanks.
A big old tub of dicks. Yeah, thanks, Gary. And you too can leave us a message if you dial 419-528-TDRK. You can posit us with zany situations. You know what? I'm saying that you probably have a leaky tub, so you could use those to caulk your appliances.
You're an idiot.
Am I?
There's a right answer here.
Okay.
The entire reason that he spent all that money on all those action figures and went through that entire process was to distill that collection down to a tub of dicks. Nobody does that unless they want to do something with it.
Okay.
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 And what it is that it's for Dick Show Stew.
Wait, what?
It's an inedible show stew for filming commercials about stew.
So stew is in
stew is in like thick soup.
Thick soup. Yes, thick, meaty, hearty soup.
They're show dicks for show stew.
Show dicks.
Because you know you can't eat the food that is on commercials.
Faux show.
Yeah. Show dick stew.
Okay, show dick stew.
Show dick show stew.
Show dick show stew. Okay.
Faux show.
Okay, I got you. Wait a minute. So you're saying that National Spot, you know, you get Campbell's or you get Nestle to sit down and encourage people to, you know, belly up to a nice big old bowl of dicks?
Basically? Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know...
Well, it's for a new line. It's for a new line, and let me tell you why.
New Line Cinema?
No, it's for a new line of Dick Stew.
Okay.
See, you've seen, like, regular, like, traditional Dick Stew, which the dick is basically just... You can't even tell it's dick.
Right.
Yeah. I can't believe this isn't dick. Neither can I. It's not. Okay. It's probably not, but it is.
Yeah.
Little bits of dick.
Various gibs.
All right. Then you have Chunky, Campbell's new Chunky Dick.
Okay.
All right. What they're coming out with now is whole Dick Stew.
Oh, right. Exactly. Kind of like how you can get cashews and cashew halves.
Yeah, because if you cut, cashew halves, it's a premium stew.
Yeah, I always thought the cashew halves and bits were, that was awful. I don't like those. So whole dick. That way it's discernible. Skin on or skin off?
Skin on.
Okay, skin on.
Yeah, $350 a ball, seven a shaft. They don't sell it. they don't sell it by a cup and a bowl.
They call them Madison Avenue oysters.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that's good. Although, you know,
I'm pretty sure that the live-in, what was it, the Wall Street thing? Those are just people on Dick Stew. Those are, in the Depression, you had soup lines, and now you have Dick Stew lines. And that's what those are.
Because people are going to die.
Occupy Wall Street while you wait for Dick Stew. Dick Stew.
People are going to die, okay? And what's going to happen to their penises when they're gone? You know, we should use every part of the buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Use every part of that turgid buffalo. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So
don't
thank
cook
you.
It too long, it'll bloat.
I want to start a hot dog restaurant / hair salon that's called Split Ends. And the hot dogs that we sell, they're exclusively overcooked in the microwave.
Can I get my tongue forked there?
We've got an end, we'll split it. Chris, we're drinking some delicious Yingling beer right here. Fresh, new on the scene in Ohio. Can I tell you about something else that is a potable, well, semi-potable beverage?
I have no idea what that means.
Like drinkable. Although the government would have dispute to that claim.
God, you're such an urban survivalist. What? Now be careful when opening the refrigerator. What we're looking for is potable beverages. Everything we have in here is in a sealed bottle or can.
Purple stuff.
Purple stuff. Probably should stay away from that.
Capri Sun, no.
Too sweet, gives you heartburn.
Ah, Sonny D.
All right.
Hey, mate. Do you seriously think that only Australian people are survivalists?
I don't know. What does your beer taste like with iodine tablets in it?
It tastes like safety.
Oh, good.
Okay. Four Loko is in trouble with the FTC again, this time related to its can labeling. The beverage makers were forced to label their cans with how many beers one can of Four Loko is equivalent to. Four Loko claims that one can is the same as 1 to 2 beers, but the FTC says that a 23.5-ounce can at 12% alcohol by volume is the same as 4 to 5 cans of beer. This means that a single can of Four Loko actually constitutes a night of binge drinking, which is defined. Actually, a binge drinking is defined as 4 to 5 beers within a 2-hour stretch, which for me is Wednesday. In the future, Four Loko will be forced to be sold in resealable containers since it's not safe to drink a whole can at a go.
Why don't they just label it with how much she's going to remember to tell police? No mask necessary.
Grape, habanero, banana. Four Loko GHB.
Grape. It's a fiery tropical drink.
With an aftertaste of regret. See, but that's one of those things where, like, this is achieving the opposite effect, because when I see something at the, you know, at the store, you know, festively labeled with this contains 4 to 5, you know, cans of beer for like $2,
25% of the price. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like that. That's marketing. That's not a warning label. That's not dissuading me from anything. Granted, I've never partaken of Four Loko. I've never had it. Have you?
No.
No?
No.
And I never intend to. But, you know, there's the other ones? There's Sparks. Beer Math. Yeah, Sparks. That was the original Four Loko. But yeah, those have all the caffeine taken out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's just funny to me. The entire existence of those products is funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. I'm drinking like an adult, a human being.
Sometimes you come up with an idea that's just too good.
And the world isn't ready for it yet.
Sometimes a country works hard and arrives.
Okay.
Certain things that happen when you arrive. You have enough people with enough money. Enough mega wealthy people. Like China.
Okay.
Where they have enough mega wealthy Chinese investors. And they're being given the chance to buy solid gold from the country's first gold vending machine. The machine, guarded round the clock by security guards, can dispense everything from a 2 kilogram ingot to a medal or a trinket weighing a few ounces.
2 kilograms, that's like what, a pound?
I don't know.
Just shy of a pound?
Yeah.
Okay.
Payment scanners recognize every Chinese banknote, and of course, credit gold cards are welcome.
But why did you wink at me when you said that?
Because I thought it was cute.
Okay.
Like you. No, yeah.
I think that we're retrograde and that we don't depend on vending machines for more in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Japan, famously, they have the panties. Sell panties in vending machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see like a vending machine that has like a selection for gold, but not a whole gold vending machine.
Right. Is the vending machine itself made of gold?
But maybe we're missing something. Maybe okay. All vending machines sell gold. You just don't know.
Oh, wait. Are you saying there's some kind of like, you know, contra code that you can put in?
Yeah.
You know, Pepsi, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, AB start.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives you a solid gold.
AU79. Ka-chink. Science humor.
I'm not gonna check. I'm going to leave it. Is 79 the atomic weight of gold?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it? Okay. Oh, it's the atomic number. Ha. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not sure. I don't know. I should, but I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, you don't. Speaking of far off lands, Chris,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you something. My alliteration for this tab, for this index card, if you will.
Yeah.
Piss panic.
Neat.
The Dutch National Railway is under fire by politicians for foregoing bathrooms on so-called sprint trains that make short trips throughout the country instead of actual facilities. passengers who are trapped on a train must urinate into plastic bags. The bags have a bowl-like inlet and contain a substance that turns the urine into a gel. The bags are then safe to throw in the garbage. I think this is a missed opportunity because that gel probably has a little bit of nutritive value, right? So you take that, you harvest all of them together, you put them into some tubes, and you sell them in vending machines, Chris.
It's called Go-Gurt.
It's called solid gold. You sell them. It's just like, can't get a bag of solid gold.
Have you seen the new Dutch hit movie, Train Potting?
This has been Those Damn Roskids.
So, Chris, what can our listeners do?
Oh, check in on every form of social media. We have set up something for you to get trapped in. What is it? Facebook and...
Facebook.com/thosedamnroskids.
iTunes. You can search for us in the iTunes store.
Review us. That way we get up in the rankings.
Yeah.
It's good news.
Tell a friend.
Please tell a friend. Our episodes, you can fit them onto CDs. You can leave them in public places. That's good.
Oh, that's good. You can go to the duckfeed.tv.
/thosedamnroskids to find. I actually did a list of all of our episodes on there too to simplify the archive process, so you can find the older shows that way. You can do duckfeed.tv/contact. There's a nice little form you can fill out there. I've gotten a couple of them that way, which is neat. You can submit stories either there or on Facebook. You can leave us a message on our voicemail. That's 419-528-TDRK. It's not free, but this podcast is. Throw a couple of cents our way so you can get on the radio. Don't be shy. We love to hear from you.
We have a new Facebook friend.
Oh, we do. Yeah. Let's see here. Michelle. So thank you, Michelle, for joining us. You're a little bit late on this craze. We have about 80 people now. I believe you were our 80th. Mm-hmm. So thank you for showing us the love. And if you want to have your name mentioned on a podcast, which I know is the greatest feeling in the world, just give us a friend on Facebook, you know? Like us. That's all it takes. Just love us. Like us. Good night.
Good night.